Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, you know, it is time, and I'm so excited. It is time for the citizenship test, where Pat and John, oh, that's ended all of a sudden. The citizenship test, where they've been taken, is a 100-question test that everybody that becomes an American citizen has to pass this test. If they don't pass this test, then they do not become an American citizen. The question that we're asking ourselves, do we even know it as Americans? And does Congress know it, and have they forgot it? Mm-hmm. And what we're finding out that we might not know all of these. We need to learn. We need to reboot about our country. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously, we're finding out John knows less than Pat.
Well, Pat's been Googling up, you know.
Have you been Googling yet?
I have not Googled once.
He has so much time on his hands. That's just totally amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Painting, everything these days. You know,
I'm just, didn't he? Like, it's like a Discovery Channel.
Hey, at least my dog is smart.
Have
not
you seen
smart
the dog
enough to drive, though.
The dog,
not smart
yeah,
enough to drive.
That was pretty wild, man. That dog looks over his shoulder, his left shoulder, and had his hand on the wheel. I'm like, that looks real. That looks
he said,
really
what's
real.
Up?
That looks like, it was like Pat before he shaves in the morning. Well, it's time for the citizenship test. We've been taking this, and if you haven't heard yet, you can go back and hear them on your app or at VFNTV.com. Click on the VFN Torch. But we need to really get these. We need to, and I think in the future, once we work our way through these, is that we want to hit the streets and find out, you know, interview you and find out, do you know these things? Probably have a call in or whatever. But we are on our next 5 questions for today. So I will present the question to you. Then you need to take time to think, because when you're ready to get, you got to let me know when you're ready to give the answer, mm-hmm. because that will be your final answer. Okay, here we go. Today's question off the United States citizenship test that allows you to stay in America. I mean, how could you? I mean, if you don't pass this, wouldn't you be just ashamed? Like, I don't even deserve to be here.
Mm.
I just need to leave. I'm going to go to Syria. You know, think about it. He's like, wait, I got it. I mean, think about that. It'd be a shame, wouldn't it? And of course, we're finding out whether, you know, John knows this stuff or not. But here we go. Here is question number next. The first question for today. And the question is to Pat. A different mode. He seems to have joy when you're actually on you. And it goes in this mode thing. Okay, here's the question. The question, number one question for today is, who makes federal laws? Who makes federal laws? Of course, we're talking about the United States Constitution. We're talking about, you know, America. What does it take to be a citizen? So what we're asking the question is, if you want to become a citizen, you got to answer this question. Pat's thinking about it now. Is who?
Is that smoke going on?
Yeah. Who makes federal laws? Who makes the federal laws? All right. Here he goes. Is this going to be your final answer?
Be my first one.
Your first final answer.
First final
answer. Okay. Like, here's the question. The question is, for your citizenship test, mm-hmm. if you can actually be a citizen of America, who makes the federal laws?
Congress.
Hey! Oh my goodness! I know. Listen, that's really good. I know it's got to be really confusing right now, because it really seems like the executive branch makes it.
Yeah.
Right. You think about all these policies and these czars and these people be put in place. That's why people are kind of what's going on here, because they're not supposed to be making the laws. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put me in jail because you write a policy about how, you know, a land use should be, and it ends up with me being in jail, it's like, didn't you just make a law?
Mm-hmm.
How can you know, Congress is the one supposed to make a law.
Mm-hmm.
And so important when they're talking about, you know, the debt ceiling, that Congress is the one that determines whether the debt ceiling will go up or not. Well, the president, the executive branch, is saying that we don't want to have to go to Congress. I don't want to have to go to Congress to give me permission to raise the debt ceiling, to be able to borrow more money. Well, it says right here, to be able to be a citizen is like, who makes the law? Well, it's Congress. And you think Congress is made up of, you know, the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So you did really good. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Smiles now. Look at that.
But that's really important because, you know, it doesn't look that way today. It's like, Congress, you look powerless. Why are you acting that way? And how come you're not, if you have equal powers to the executive branch,
mm-hmm.
why aren't you standing up? Why aren't you, you know, saying, well, you can do that if you want to, but we're not going to pass a law for that. Or we're not going to give you funding for that. And no matter what happens, and they control the budgeting, they control the, whether there's going to be a law or not. And this is the judiciary branch that actually, well, we don't want to talk too much about that. But that's probably a future question right there. John, number two, a question for citizenship today of the five questions that we're going to ask on the U.S. citizenship test is what are the two parts of the U.S. Congress? What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
Is he still thinking?
I don't know. All right, here we go. This is very exciting. This is going to be your final answer, right?
My only answer.
Your only answer.
My first answer.
And the question's going to be, and this is the question, what is the answer to this, the U.S. citizenship test, is what are the two parts of the U.S. Congress?
Would that be the Senate and the House of Representatives?
Hey! Oh, wonderful. That's so good. Oh, my goodness, man. That is so, so good. You did really, really well. You did really well on that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. So far, you can unpack
the Samson fright. I mean, you're not going to have to go anywhere. Now, Pat.
You going to give me the answer first before you give the question like you did for him?
Well, he didn't know that. He thought deeply about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, this is a good one.
That's all right.
This is a really good one right here.
I'll take mine legitimately. That's cool.
Okay, this is going to be legitimate.
How competitive.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. A Saints fan wins once. Just once.
One big paycheck,
you never hear the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
One payday.
And his hair gel is perfect today, isn't it?
Yeah, I was watching a story about the, probably on the ESPN, about the... NBA players and NFL players that you live your whole life just scraping, getting by and all this kind of stuff. And so you spent all your money and everything on just being there, getting the grades, that type of thing. So when you get your first paycheck, you go from like, you know, I'm in the hole and in debt to all of a sudden you have $1 million check.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you who the player was that, so they paid the player and the player, the company, the owner of the team, realizes that the check never cleared. And so they go back and said, you know, we noticed that you never cashed that check. And he goes, well, I framed it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
And it's talking about how a lot of them are just coming from, you know, just the basics of life and never had, they had money. And all of a sudden they go from zero money to millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, one guy, he said he got his money, one of the baseball players, and got it all in 20s and put it in the hotel room and watched a game or something. He said, I thought I would never spend all that.
Yeah, right.
He spent it all. Mm-hmm. So here it is. Here it is. This is for $10,000.
You're on the wrong button there.
Oh, okay. Right here.
You're setting me up.
No. Okay. Isn't that amazing? This guy, he's so competitive.
We need to pray for Tracy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Bless her heart. Oh, my goodness.
That's how that chili got so good. They had a chili cook-off or something.
They must have. It must have. Well, here's the question, Pat. How many U.S. senators are there? How many U.S. senators are there? The U.S. citizenship test. Okay, here it is.
Slide it over. You're on the wrong one.
Here it is. How many, this is U.S. citizenship test to be able to become a citizen of America. How many senators, how many U.S. senators are there?
100.
Hey, very good. Yes, there are 100 U.S. senators because there are two senators from every state. Even if you're New Hampshire, even if you're 1.3 million North population,
Dakota.
North Dakota or whatever, you get two of them.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy? Or California.
Amazing.
California
even
gets two of them. Isn't that crazy? It's just wild. Yeah, I know. And it's something. It's amazing. Then you can rule. And then you think of Massachusetts. You know, Massachusetts got two. When you think about Kennedy, you know, John Kennedy, he was from, you know, little Mass, but had a big boast, you know, coming out because every I think that's powerful, isn't it?
Huge.
To have that kind of representation there. So it's very important. So when you think about the Congress is made up, as John said, that of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so we're finding out here that the U.S. Senate has two senators from every state. And since, unlike our president said during his campaign, which I can totally understand how you can mess up on that. He said, I've been to all 57 states. I can understand that.
Yeah, right.
People don't understand that. I could totally understand that. So that means there's 100. So how many seats do you need every time the Senate meets?
How many what?
How many chairs do you need?
100.
Very good. That wasn't even like a sideline.
Oh. That's a bonus question.
Yeah, Pat was back. Pat's looking at me. Oh, my goodness. How big are the senators? Okay, question number next.
Okay.
Question number next is, John, this is the question for the U.S. citizenship. We elect a U.S. Senate, a U.S. senator. Think about it. We elect a U.S. senator. For how many years? We elect a U.S. senator for how many years? Okay, here it is. This is the question for U.S. citizenship. We elect a U.S. senator for how many years?
Alex, what is 6 years?
Hey, very good. Oh, I just knew. I was hoping Pat would get that one because Pat's going like, oh, that's pretty good. I didn't know that was amazing. Totally amazing. It's pretty cool. And so you think about when you actually, your senator got elected in your state, they have 6 more years before they have another election.
Wow. Yeah.
You can do a lot of damage in 6 years.
It's too long.
You can do a lot of damage. That's why you see a lot of crazy things happen in a 6-year period. But they thought this out, and it's kind of, well, we won't talk about too much more of that. Might give the answer to the next one. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's not another Lego set or doll. No, what your child wants most from you this holiday season is your time and attention. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and financial expert Mary Hunt reminds us, it's not about the stuff.
I promise you, when your children reach their adult years, when they remember Christmas, they will not remember the gifts. They will not. They're going to remember whether mom was stressed out or that she was fun to be around. They're going to remember the time that you went and took the sled up the hill and sled together. If you're looking to make Christmas something your kids will remember, think past the gifts. Gifts are involved, but they are such a small, small part of it.
This season, be intentional about your time and money. Make some great memories with your children that they'll treasure forever. You'll find more ideas for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Radical? That was Jesus a radical? Wasn't he a radical?
He was pretty radical. Yeah.
He was rocking every place he went. I mean, place was just getting turned upside down, including when he went into the temple. He started saying, That's not right. Mm-hmm. Kick over. That's not right. Hit with a whip. I mean, you know, we got to read the red letters again. Yeah. We got to get in touch with the red blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses sin and the red letters in the Word of God. Listen, I don't want you, you know, to be offended. Understand, and the truth offends only those who don't want to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all we got to do if we weren't following it is just go, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah, that's what I want. I want God. Mm-hmm. I want God. And so you don't want to be offended by it. You want to be, think about it. You know, we're not making progress. We're actually declining. Everything's declining in the American church, and things are shifting to other nations. As a matter of fact, listen to Steve Hill right now. Steve Hill and Peter Wagner discuss the very same thing. I'll be right back.
And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor, and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
Think about it. We're not making progress in America. Is that not enough? I mean, if you're on a football team, and the point of the being on the football team is to score points, and we're not scoring points, maybe we need to rethink our playbook. Maybe we need to rethink what we're doing. Let's go back to the original playbook. Let's go back to the original word. Let's just say, you know what, God? You are right. Here I am. Send me. Maybe VFN's for you. Vine Fellowship Network. You can get to it at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or just go to vfnfamily.org. That's vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Nope, don't Pat. Do that, it's his turn.
Pat.
Yes.
How many, this is for U.S. citizenship, how many aides does each U.S. senator have? That's not a question. You should see the He's thinking. It was priceless.
I'll stick the pack in my bag.
It was priceless.
Oh, no, it was priceless. We need times when you wish you had a video.
Oh, I did. I'll remember that forever. He was deep thoughts. He got quiet. He wasn't boastful.
Oh, no.
I was just counting how many suitcases I had.
Yeah, right. So, Pat, here is the question. Who is, I guess both of you guys can answer this question. Okay, who is one, since you have two, right? One of your state's U.S. senators now.
I see his face as plain as day.
Oh,
turn it off. It ain't coming.
Oh my goodness. He's obviously aggressively fighting for our country. You can tell because he's in touch with the two guys, just two out of 7 million people in Florida, two guys that represent us, you know, in Washington, D.C. I mean, obviously he's on.
The answer was for one. The
they text, him, they text each other. I know, just one. Out of two guys, you know, just one of them. Welcome to America.
Welcome to Florida.
Welcome to Florida. No doubt. So, Pat,
I see him.
It's a lady,
and he just there's two.
Come on. I'm sorry. There's two.
They're only the one I can think of. He's
okay.
Big. Starts with the.
No.
Hold on. You answer your own state.
You're okay. It has all vowels and consonants in it.
He's a Democrat. I don't know his name. It's gone.
John, give us one of your senators' name for New Jersey.
New Jersey. Bob Menendez.
He's looking at his computer screen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's just a little permanent fixture around here.
But this is the question. The question for you is, do you know who your two senators are? And if it's a representative government, then they're representing you. And so they should be speaking to you, and you should be speaking to them. And if you're not speaking to them, who are they representing?
Mm-hmm.
But in Pat's state, it would be Senator Marco Rubio.
Rubio.
Who was the presidential candidate.
He was not a candidate.
Yeah, he was. No, he was going to be on the ticket. He was, they made a mistake and didn't put him on the ticket.
Considering throwing his name around for a long time.
Yeah, right. He was not on the ticket. Come on, no, please. And Florida would be Bill Nelson.
That was the one I was trying to.
He just hangs around. We don't know how it happens.
Yeah, no,
but he's just kind of there. It's a Southern vote. There. Talking about the Southern vote. That's a Southern vote. But it's so important. Think about it, that if you have two senators from every state and it's representative government and they serve because you allow them to serve, how important is it for you to know their names instead of just saying, those political people take care of that?
Mm-hmm.
And because you can act today with this kind of technology, it's important for you. So you know what? You can download an app from your two senators and you can email them from your iPhone or your Android phone. You can pull up their and book note their websites that you can communicate to your senator on certain issues that you don't even have to call them today, but you also have their numbers to call them. So when something happens, like right now, what's taking place right now in Washington with the financial cliff, you know, you should be contacting your senators and saying, listen, what's going on? Now, if you have a Democratic senator, then they're in the majority in the Senate and the Republicans are in the minority, which means pretty much that ever how the majority wants it to go in Congress is how it goes. But in the House of Representatives, that the Republicans have the majority there. Mm-hmm. And so when you have Boehner, who is firing conservatives off of his group, you know, mm-hmm. he's a Republican. But when you have the Utah Senator Harry Reid, he's the president of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say Nevada?
Nevada. Okay. He is the Democratic Senate. So you have this kind of tension going on. But you can call him. If you're in Nevada, you can call Senator Harry Reid, and you could say this is how you want it to be, or call whoever your senator is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, don't think of it this way. Don't be intimidated. This is what's happened now. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, but they only have absolute power if we don't even know who they are and we don't connect to them. And realize they may talk to you like they are doing you a favor, but realize it's only because they've forgotten this U.S. citizenship test that we're taking right now, because it's a government by the people and for the people,
mm-hmm.
and it's a representative government, and so they're supposed to be representing you. But how can they represent you if they're not talking to you and hearing your opinion on it? So your opinion's important. It doesn't mean it's going to go your way, but you're supposed to. Not only is it okay for you to share your opinion with your senator or your congressman. It's expected for you to share it with them, and therefore you need to know who they are. We need to know who they are. In life, we've been so blessed in our country, and government has been so removed from our states that it's hard to latch into. I don't know if it was the 17th. I don't know what amendment it was, but the 10th Amendment, or the, I don't know which amendment it is. But it used to be where the states had more power, but they took it away when they did away. Is it 10th Amendment? But it was that the whole state as a whole would hold our senators accountable, and it's different now. It's more of a popular vote, you know, and that's how bad senators can stay in for a long, long time, is because you can get 51% of the people to do something almost all the time versus the whole state as a whole. I believe the amendment said that the state Congress would...
It's 10, powers of the state and the people.
Well, I think that still stands, though, but it's the... give me a second here. I'm looking her up. It is... Yeah, it's the 17th Amendment talking about the senators. Mm. And the state legislature, that's a vacancy.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing as we're taking this test and looking, you know, learning and discovering the answers to these questions. You know, it's quick. You know, we talked about the last ounce of courage, and basically the paraphrase and quote from Ronald Reagan says that there were just one generation away from freedom being totally extinct. And it's important to look back and understand where we're coming from. It's important to understand what these constitutional rights are to us. When you talk about the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, I mean, right now that's so huge. That's so huge. We talked about on one of our previous programs that one of the reasons how that all got, that the framers made sure they got into the Constitution was because Great Britain at the time, King wanted to exact a stamp on all of your papers, of all the papers of the colonists. So that they had a pamphlet, any kind of paper they had in their home, posted on the wall, a poster, they had to have a stamp. He wanted to raise money. Mm-hmm. The only way that the king was able to find out 3,000 miles away, if you had purchased your stamp for your piece of paper that you have in your house, was for the soldiers to be able to walk into your home, and they wrote a law that gave them the power to create their own search warrants. So at any time that these British officers, these soldiers, could barge into your home and search your documents to see if you had a stamp, to see if you had that, if you had purchased that stamp, which means that you were totally open, you know, to anyone just coming to your house at any time or searching you. Well, the framers made sure that, listen, this is awful. This is, you can't have this. You can't just barge into our home. You can't just stop me for any reason to see, you know, and totally take my personal freedom away. And we have the right to privacy. We have that right, but you're seeing that right being eroded every single day. And there's new laws that are, you know, coming on in.
Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot and delicious. Your plate is next.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you just get enough light and word to get saved,
and find out where you are in Christ. But you spend no time walking out the Word, it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be a lot of people who went that way, and they're going to encourage you on that wide way, and they're going to tell you you're totally fine. As a matter of fact, George Barna says in Barna Group, he does a statistical survey of the church, and he says 81% of regular church attenders who say they go to church, according to George Barna, don't even read the light. They don't even read the Word. What does that automatically mean? They're in what? Darkness. And so you have a dark, spiritually speaking, people looking at a dark leadership, 530 people in Washington, D.C., and they're thinking that my darkness is going to change their darkness. It's like, that's foolishness. That's a riot. Yes, it's gross darkness. And not only does he say that 81% of the people who call themselves Christians are not reading the Word, he says that 19%, out of the 19% that are reading the Word, only 3% of them actually use it as light to get around. They actually read it and apply it to their life. In other words, they look at the map, they find out where they are, and they change their direction based on the map, on the Word of God. Which means what? 97% of the people who call themselves Christians, according to George Bonner, are where? In the darkness. That's why 97% are not giving to God in His tithes and offerings, because they're in darkness. They don't know. You don't know what? You don't know. But what's so crazy is because they're not reading, they're going to Washington, D.C. and marching out there and complaining about them taxing them too much money on their taxes and doing this and doing that. And it's like, okay, you're saying that you're paying too much taxes while you're robbing from God. It's like, you need to get in the Word. It's not going to be good. Satan's going to eat your lunch. You're going there telling people how to be married and how not to be married. And look at yourself. If you read the Word, you find out your marriage is in shambles. Your children are just trying to survive your darkness. Come on. We wouldn't get in a fight. We're going to lose that fight. I'm just saying. 97% is in darkness. Well, you could say, well, that's just terrible. You say, oh, I just need to be the light then. Jesus came as one and became many. Then we can become one in Him, and we can what? Become many. People just don't. The enemy has underestimated you and the power of your wattage when you decide to live a godly life before God. You walk in the workplace and the place goes, and demons like, oh, she's here, he's here, because they know you're the light when you walk in. They're like, whoa, Susie's here. Then they go like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you. You're like, how in the world would you even be bothered with that? What you did to me was worse than what you just said to me. Anyway, because they see the light, they know.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah, and it's the 17th Amendment that talks about the state Senate and how they're appointed, and they have particular, one vote. But understanding that at one point, the state would elect your local state congressmen and your state senators, and they would determine who would go to Congress, who would go, which would give you more direct insight because you're with your local state congressman more than you are with your congressman, House of Representatives in D.C., and they got a couple offices throughout the states, and it's hard to get up and nail those guys down because it's a big responsibility. But if they served at the whim of your local state Senate and congressmen, then they would have to listen to you because you're going to share your opinion with your state congressman and your state senator. They removed that. I can't find that right now. They removed that to where now they just got to get a popular vote.
Right.
And so there is no accountability to the citizens of that state. And now nationally, like Washington, D.C. is determining what happens to this country, when it used to be the states would determine what happened in Washington, D.C., and therefore, the people were more in control. It was more of a representative form of government. But when they did away with that,
Now it's like we're getting orders from D.C. instead of East D.C. getting orders from the people, from the states. It's just, and we got to recapture the original intent of the Constitution, and some amendments will have to be, you know, reinstated and even rethought out again. But yeah, think about it. So the reason why you need to know, and this is the end, obviously, of our test, citizenship test today, is because you have to talk to them. You have to know who they are. So I encourage you, as your homework for this weekend, to go and find out who your senators are and realize, imagine them, you have two employees and they're waiting for your orders. And what do you want them to do? Mm-hmm. And they should be, and a lot of them are, they want to hear from you. They call you their constituents. I do what my constituents say. When you hear a congressman or a senator say, listen, I don't care what they're saying here in Washington, D.C. I do what the people tell me to do in my district. That's what you want. You want them to do what you say you want them to do in the district. People look at that as a negative thing because they look at it from Washington down instead of from you up. When you look at government, how it's supposed to be from you up, you go, that's great. I'm glad you're representing your people. Well, don't change your, you shouldn't be able to change your mind because you should be representing the people who selected you to go there, representative government. That's why I believe that we are going to have to come up with, you know, more parties, more than the two-party system. I believe that it was George Washington said that the two-party system will be the death of America because it does, everything doesn't fit into two parties. There is no two.
No.
You know, just because you're selecting one party or another party doesn't mean everything's right about that. Mm-hmm. And so you can have several parties, and that would be more appropriate to represent us because we're a diverse people. That way, people, you know, if you want to live in that district and you want to live in that state and that's what your state's doing, you should have representatives that have your viewpoints. In turn, you know, if I want to live in a state and live in a district, you vote by moving. You vote by saying, hey, if I don't want that kind of government, then I would move by, I would change my geographical location in America and I would move to a different state. Today, everything's becoming formalized, federalized, under the national government, federal government, and everybody's thinking that's great, but it's not great because we're giving up our individual, you know, 10th Amendment rights as a state, and we're foregoing it over to the government. One example of that is the healthcare law. The healthcare law is passed, but they did not put, they're finding out, it looks like little by little, what they didn't write or did write in there. But the federal government has no authority nor funding in the bill to be able to set up offices in the states to regulate their healthcare plan. So they're just stuck. So either the state's going to choose to regulate themselves and the state will pay for that, there's like 20 states or something that said, no, you're going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, they can't do it because they can't legally come into the states. That's actually a precious thing. The very fact that they have to ask your state's permission to come in, don't give that up. Some of the things the Lord has been showing me, and we'll be back in a moment after this break, but is that, you know, states are going to begin to lose their sovereignty. And you don't want to lose your sovereignty here because you have a state constitution and it's the United States of America. It's not America. It's the United States of America, which means there's 50 states. Each state has their own constitution, their own governor, their own Congress, their own Senate. And there is the 10th Amendment that we send representatives to Washington, D.C. to represent us. But we're not joining the federal government. The federal government's, we're allowing them to participate in our representative government. I mean, it's a whole different paradigm.
Right.
But this socialism mindset of saying, you know, government needs to run everything is saying we're giving up our individual sovereignty over the states. We're saying, listen, you just do everything and we'll just get in line and, you know, pass out the whatever. And what the Constitution specifically says, you know, what is the job of our president? And it is to regulate commerce, to keep, you know, monies to be the same. So if you go, whatever state you go to, it's the same. And because in the beginning of the 13 colonies, that was all different monies in every different colony, was a mess.
Yeah, it's not like the federal government's supposed to be there to support the states, not for the states to support the federal government.
Exactly. And to be able to defend us from enemies, foreign and domestic, our Constitution, to protect our borders.
Right.
And they've taken on so many other roles. And that's exactly what Israel did. If you go and listen to SOS, the Tell of Two Kings, and VFN TV,
You go to VFNTV.com and watch it, maybe on your app. That's always been the battle. The battle is, do you want to trust God and be free in God, mm-hmm. or do you want somebody else to fight your battles for you? Israel said they wanted a king, and they were turning their back on God and rejecting God. What are we going to do today as a nation? Are we going to say, listen, we want the government to be God and to be mm-hmm. our provider and our source, or we're willing to do the hard work of being free, which means we have to participate in a representative government?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was so tired, as we all are, when we're working nonstop and for what God has called us to do. And so when we go to bed, we're tired. And so I was about to pass out. I was in bed, and it must have been, you know, the crack of 8. No, messing with you. No, it wasn't. It was late. And as I was laying there, it crossed my mind. My goodness, I'm only going to have a few more days left being in my 40s. I will not be in my 40s anymore.
No, that's turning.
And I'm thinking I will never look at myself the same anymore. I'm in my 40s. I'm like, but I'm so tired. And I'm like, well, maybe I can get out of bed and take a picture of myself to remember what I looked like when I was in my 40s, you know? And I thought, I am way too tired. So I took one hand and went over and touched my other arm. I said, this is what I felt like when I was 40.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's amazing. It just dawned on me last night.
It just hit you.
It just hit me because I've been so busy. This has been the busiest decade. Do you get to relax when you're 50? Can you believe that? 50.
Wow.
50.
Yeah, I know. And it just because you know things in your head in regards to it. You just don't have time to really, you know, do much in regards to when we're working. We're trying to save the world, trying to save as many people as we can before catastrophe hits. And so I just paused and just realized, my goodness, mm-hmm. I'm going to be not in my 40s anymore.
No.
You'll be half of 100.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about today's program. Today's program, I am going to just walk through the community and say, look at me. This is what I look like in my 40s.
Right.
And I thought, well, hey, I'm on television around the world. Yeah. So this is what I look like in my 40s.
There it is.
It will be disappearing soon. Mm-hmm. And but isn't that amazing? It's totally amazing. But I understand the 50s. I mean, this is a huge, think about this, that something happened in 1963. So many things converged in that year. William Brannan got his vision in 1963 of the seven angels of God, you know, the seven spirits of God that's in his right hand. And it happened in 63. I have a dream speech where the apostle of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Began to share about a mountaintop experience and the dream that he's seen America coming into a better place. The assassination of a president, John F. Kennedy, on the very same day. But I was born in 1963.
Mm. Same day.
Same day, same hour, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. I just can't even name all the writer, Screw Letters.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, on the very same day, November 22nd, 1963, that he passed. And people are bringing this to me. I didn't know all this. But 50 represents Jubilee. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to hold on to that.
That's right.
We're going to hold on to that one. You know, and Jubilee is a very exciting thing because Jubilee is when no matter where you are, if it's exercised appropriately, then all the debt's forgiven. You enter into a time of rest. Everything rests. And you're able to just relax and the soil begins to replenish mm-hmm. itself, I think, over 7 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to hang on to Jubilee.
Hey,
I'm
going
to celebrate.
Good.
But, you know, once you're not in your 40s anymore, you're not in your 40s anymore. So I'm thinking, I really thought about this. This is something that probably Steve would think about. Yeah. I'm going to get out of bed and take a picture of myself so I can remember what I look like at my 40, right?
Is that what Steve does?
Yeah.
Okay.
He don't have a mic. He said, yeah. That's what he said. He said, yeah.
Well, I'm not even in my 40s, so I don't even know what that's like.
We'll take a picture.
Wow, I'm not even.
Yeah, take a picture.
Wow. Are you?
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, jeez.
You're not in your 40s?
No. No.
You act like you're 60.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm not.
I didn't know I was going to be. You're serious? I thought you were.
No, that's next year.
Ain't that something? He'd be walking around like an old man.
I know, right?
We've been giving him the special parking space. You know,
give me the keys back.
You know, you just got to pick up some more weight around here. I'm like, Mike, us old folks, man, we're trying to do something.
I'm just trying to hang on.
Ain't that something? I thought you had already.
No, no.
Oh, you're going to, we're going to roast you. We are going to roast you. So everybody that's listening right now, Maria, anybody out there that's listening, we want pictures, photos, videos, testimonies. Great. His 40th birthday coming up. I just want to celebrate my 40s because tomorrow I will no longer be in my 40s,
right? That's right.
That's right.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Touch me now, man. Touch me now. This is it. It's over. It's over.
Totally over.
It's over.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
When I think about not hindering our way to heaven. I mean, think about it. You don't want to create a hindrance towards your access to heaven.
Right.
Because everybody always says, but you hear continually in a dark land, everybody's in a better place.
All right.
Sometimes you have to say, can you open that casket one more time and let me see? I think I'm at the wrong funeral right here because that person lived with the devil the whole time in their life and they never once wanted to follow the Lord. But I think about Joseph. I think about Joseph and his life. And Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob. Mm-hmm. And he was really loved by his father. And if people say, well, that's kind of unfair. Why would he have a favorite son? You have to understand that he was swindled and hoodwinked early in his life by his employer who got him to marry his other daughter. Mm-hmm. And he stayed with her and they had children and God honored all of that. Her name was Leah. But he was in love with Rachel. And Joseph was one of Rachel's first child. And so obviously that he had this attachment to Joseph here, and he had a coat that he fixed him up, a nice little coat, had different, you know, coat of many colors. But because of that relationship, his brothers were very jealous of him, and God was speaking to Joseph, and he shared it with his brothers.
Mistake.
And the first thing he said, "Hey, kill him!" Yeah, my buddy's like, "It's amazing." It's a good sign that you heard from God. And he was obedient to his father, whatever his father wanted him to do. And I think this is like, my goodness, this is a good son. But yet his brothers plotted to murder him. Eventually, they settled on selling him into slavery. They took the coat that his dad gave him, put lion's blood all over it, and told their dad that as he ripped his heart out, and said, "Your son is dead." I mean, these are evil, evil things that these guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And then he gets sold into slavery only because he was going out to do what the father wanted him to do. Next thing you know, he tells, go down and check on your brothers. He ends up being done this way and sold into slavery, just doing what his father told him to do. And then he gets sold into slavery. Joseph does. And you think about it. I mean, think about what's going on inside of you during all this.
All right.
Then he was falsely accused of a sexual crime. He was put on a predator's list, if they had one of that day.
All right.
And he was locked up in jail, falsely charged, and he was serving time on false charges. Think about it. There's two ways to respond to this. Either way, you're going to be broken. I mean, you're not going to be unbroken through this. The first way is revenge, hatred, public exposure of the evil, killing. I mean, that's what Cain did, right? Killed Abel. Mm-hmm. Angry with God and what he allowed you to go through. Or the second way is to forgive, to love, to cover their sin, to realize all that happened to you was Father filtered. Though those who did it to you and did these many evil things may have intended to do the evil, to know that God actually intended it for good, that he was doing something. Realize that if you choose to not forgive and to hate, every time you hear that person's name or your brother's name, you're just going to cringe. Your heart's going to just, it's going to repel that person because you're holding offense and you're holding anger in your heart. But if you choose to forgive, love and cover and look for God's plan in what's happening, then you'll enjoy their presence. It won't bother you a bit. And this is very, very important because they may be a bit shaky around you because of what they did, because they know it was evil, but it's all, you know, that's what they're going to have to walk out. But Joseph was only one of 12 brothers whose names, by the way, including Joseph's, are on the gates of heaven. Could you imagine instead of 12 gates into heaven that there's only 11 because you killed one of the brothers?
Wow.
That was doing you wrong? Or could you imagine never forgiving your brother and then you're about to enter heaven, but then you look over the gate and you find out the name over the gate is the person that you chose not to forgive, and your heart cringes because you're thinking, this man did evil to me. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, 1 John 3:15, we're in the Word of God, we're told that anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in Christ. You know that. So to enter through that gate of heaven means you have eternal life. And what they're saying right here is like, hey, if your heart cringes when you look at the name over the door, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
All right.
You ain't getting in. Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciple if you love one another. He didn't say, hey, Joseph, you can't love your brothers. That's not saying that. He walked it out when people were persecuting Jesus and crucifying Jesus and calling God Satan. He just kind of trusted himself to him who judges justly. He did not even avenge himself. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 14 through 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. This is so important because what if the name of the person that you're not forgiving, that for whatever reason it was Father filtered, that God allowed that person to work you over, mm-hmm. you think about it, and then you're going to let that person keep you out of heaven? Mm. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. You see, Joseph understands what we have to understand. He understood this. And we talks about it in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 20. When his brothers, at the end of their excursion of selling him into slavery and doing him this wrong and going through all these injustices, but yet the storm that came against them brought them to a place of being at Joseph's feet. And they were terrified, thinking they knew what they deserved. They deserved death. They deserved destruction. That's what we all deserve at the foot of Jesus, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Am I in the place of God? You intended me harm, but God intended it for good to accomplish what he wanted done so that many lives would be saved. Realize God is in complete control. Understand this, as we're told in Revelation 21. He says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from gold. And in verse 12, and it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. understand that when you read about Joseph and his brothers, that God was doing something. He was working something out. And if you misunderstand how God does things, if you misunderstood how he's going to bring things about, you have a fence in your life. You've been taken down by the bait of Satan. You not only will you not enter in through that door because you're repulsed by the name over it, you're not going to be allowed in if you don't forgive as God has forgiven you. I want to encourage you today to take on the same mindset, understanding that though they did these evil things against Joseph, Joseph understood that he's not in the place of God, and neither are we. But God is always in the place of God. It's for us, as followers of Jesus, to do as Jesus did, to do as Joseph did, and entrust ourselves to him who judges justly, knowing that the very person that gave you the hardest time in your life, their name may be on the foundation of your mansion in heaven.
Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Just Fish and Grits, if you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.